This is Digital Story Podcast number 555, October 25th, 2016. Today's theme is Bridgeport. I'm Derek Story. So I just got back from a morning walk here in Bridgeport, California. It's Sunday morning, and it's the last day of our Eastern Sierra workshop. We have an interesting thing going on today. I like Sundays. I like the third day because the first 2 days we work really hard. We were out in the field all day Friday and all day Saturday. And I'll talk a little bit more about where we went in a minute. But Sundays are, well, they're nice on a three-day workshop because they have assignments for shooting. And they're somewhat optional. I mean, I want them to do some of the things on the list, but they don't have to do everything. So they have a choice. Everyone here has a choice of working a little bit more on their photos before we have our formal lab, which starts at 1 this afternoon. And the difference between formal lab and informal lab is that informal lab, you're loading up your stuff, you're kind of organizing, you're rating. We talk about all this stuff in our earlier classroom sessions, but you're just sort of getting it together. Formal lab, we're all in the same place. And in this case, we're in the wonderful and beautiful Kane House here right off Highway 395 in Bridgeport. Beautiful accommodations. Everyone gets to kind of sit around at whatever table or chair they want and work with other people or work by themselves. There's common spaces, there's private spaces. It's really lovely. At any rate, formal lab, then I'm there and everyone else is available to help. And so if you have questions about how to do something, if you want feedback before the class presentation on your shots, you know, we can do that. Let's say that you have it whittled down to 15 and you want to get down to the final 8, which is how many we do for our class presentation. We do 8 images. Everyone presents 8 images and talks about, you know, what they tried to do and how it turned out in their opinion and, you know, how they feel about it. And then we get to talk about the images too. So that will be this afternoon. We'll have the formal presentation this afternoon. So this morning, people can work more on their shots. They can go out and work on some of the photo assignments. It's really a nice day and it's cool and crisp here in Bridgeport. On my walk, I spent about 45 minutes or so on a morning walk. And it's so funny because I had an undershirt on, and then I have a button-up shirt with a collar, and then I had a down vest. And I was pretty comfortable. It was a little cool. I had my Nimble Photographer fingerless gloves on. But I ran into this guy in this open field, this beautiful open field with snow-capped Sierra Mountains in the background. It's just gorgeous. I mean, I'm just going, you know, this is this guy's, you know, backyard, really, in all sense. It was a cattle field, but there weren't any cattle in it at the moment. And he was throwing a tennis ball for his dogs. He had a Goldie, and then he also had an interesting mix of a wire hair and poodle. And the dogs were just in heaven. I mean, if you're going to be a dog, this is the place to be a dog. And so I asked him if I could photograph him while he was, you know, throwing the ball for his dogs, because I had this fantastic mountain landscape in the background. I mean, so he said, oh, yeah, yeah. And we talked a little bit and I got some nice shots. But the funny thing about it was, so he lives here in Bridgeport. So he was out there in like a short sleeve shirt and that was it. You know, and I'm standing there with my undershirt and then a button-up shirt and then my down vest buttoned up halfway. He's just out there in a regular sleeveless shirt. So when you live somewhere, I suppose you get used to the environment. But it was very invigorating. And then I thought, well, you know what? I've got a few moments now before I meet up with the crew again. So I thought I'd say hi to you and share a little bit about what's going on and a little bit about my philosophy of workshops and learning and, you know, my approach to education, because I think, you know, many people have different ways of going about teaching photography. And I spent a lot of time during the workshop talking about, you know, my philosophy. And I'll take yesterday as an example. So yesterday in the morning, We went to Mono Lake in the morning and caught morning light. We had another crew leave early before dawn because they wanted to shoot the sun coming up, or right before the sun came up. And then the second crew, which is what I was in, we didn't get there till about 8. But anyway, it was really sweet light yesterday morning. And so I talk a little bit about, you know, some basic techniques, just some basic things to look out for based on the environment that we have there. And then I just let people shoot. And we agree to meet back either in the parking lot or trailhead, wherever we happen to be at a designated time. And while they're shooting, I'm just out walking around. I have my camera with me, so I take some shots too. But I try not to fall into my photography too much because I am a zone shooter. And I don't mean Ansel Adams zone. I mean I fall into a zone and then I'll forget about everyone else around me, which is not good when you're the workshop facilitator. So I have to be very careful about that. But I will take some shots. But then I just go around and just check in with folks and how you doing, how's it going? And if I see something that I think is interesting, I'll point it out. And usually, especially if I can tie it to a technique such as layering lights and darks, is something we talked a lot about yesterday. I'll point that out and then I'll let them go back to work. And we just sort of do this over and over. So then we had lunch and we took a break. It took a midday break. The sun's very intense here because of the altitude. We're at 7,500 to 8,500 feet, depending on where we are at any given moment. So there's not a lot of atmosphere here, and the sun is pretty intense when there are no clouds. So we took a midday break, and then we left for Bodie in the afternoon. And we didn't get out of here till about 3:30, something like that. We got to Bodie a little before 4. I guess we got out of here about 3:15. And then we spent 2 hours shooting at Bodie because the park closes at 6. And this is a great time of year to go to Bodie because they're still on summer hours, but the days end earlier. So from 5 to 6, the light is absolutely gorgeous. Just beautiful light. And in fact, when we're driving back, it's getting dark up here. We have nice stuff to work with. And what happens is after October 31st, winter hours kick in and they close the park at 4. So right as close as you can get to the end of October for that afternoon light, it's very sweet. And then the same thing, you know, I talk about, you know, what's your theme? What's your approach? Are you just going to wander around and, you know, shoot what looks good to you? Or are you going to work with black and white? Are you going to shoot HDR? Are you going to focus on close-ups? You know, what's going to be your thing? And I think having a thing is important when you're approaching a shoot. You know, getting up and saying, okay, today I'm going to work on this. I'm going to this kind of place, and I think I'll have these types of opportunities, and I'm going to try these techniques. And instead of just going in and wandering around and thinking, well, you know, maybe I'll shoot this or that, having some sort of idea of what your thing is going to be that day, I think makes you more productive with your photography. And my example was, and I actually developed my thing in the morning at Mono Lake because I was watching people interact with the environment. And it was really fascinating to me. And I started photographing them, you know, shooting Mono Lake or the Tufa, you know, with their iPad, or doing selfies or couple shots, or where, you know, the boyfriend's shooting the girlfriend, or someone being very serious with their very expensive gear trying to get, you know, super artistic shots. And there was just all these different things, kids with their parents and stuff. And it was fascinating to have this very interesting background and then watching people interact in it. So I thought, you know, okay, that's going to be my thing for today. So then when I went to Bodie, I had sort of developed my idea and I said, I'm just going to carry this through at Bodie. And so I was calling it, I was telling everyone, okay, what I'm doing at Bodie is ghost town street photography. And it was a good chuckle. And it makes me smile, actually, even when I say it. But that's exactly what I was doing. And, you know, it's very interesting because everyone was so immersed in the environment. I mean, Bodie is a very special place. This is a ghost town that the state of California maintains in a state of arrested decay, that they maintain in a state of arrested decay. And so it feels very much like it did when everyone left. You can peek your head in the windows, and some buildings you can go in, and there's old cars outside, and all this stuff. So people are very intrigued by this or absorbed in it, which is perfect for someone that's a street photographer, because they are so absorbed in what they're doing, they're not really paying attention to me. And I'm just another guy with a camera anyway. So I was doing the street photography. And then on top of that, on top of doing ghost town street photography, I had borrowed an infrared camera. And my friend Harold, who has been to a couple of our workshops, and hopefully will come to more, lent me a Canon 5D that had been modified for infrared. And so I was shooting color infrared for my ghost town street photography. And as a result, I have to say, time just flew, because it was so fun. It was so fun. I knew what I wanted to shoot. I had this vision in my mind of getting people, watching them interact with the environment and with each other, and then getting this expansive ghost town landscape in the background, and then shooting it in color infrared on top of that. So it was pretty wild. Then when it got to be about 5 o'clock or so, then I switched to color film, actually. Pulled out my Pentax and shot color film for the last hour. And that was nice, because the light was so sweet. Nice long shadows, golden tones, all that kind of stuff. The wood was really, really popping, that texture in the wood. So that was a typical day on the Eastern Sierra workshop. And then what people are doing is then they're loading up their images, they're sorting them, they're kind of whittling them down to what we call the 3-star image. And then they have to figure out, okay, what 8 shots of all of those am I going to present to the class? And that's where the formal lab is so helpful, because you can show candidates to other photographers and get some feedback, get some preliminary feedback. Or if you're having a problem with an image, we can help you solve it. All that kind of stuff, which we don't get when we're working by ourselves. And then the other thing that I always say about a workshop that's so fascinating is that, basically we all go to the same place. So here you are in the same place that someone else was, and they put a picture up on the screen, and you go, wow, I was standing right there and I did not see that shot. And I think that is a fascinating phenomenon that I never get tired of. It never ceases to amaze me. And that's why I don't worry about other photographers being in an area where I'm shooting, because they're not going to shoot the same shots as I am anyway. Now, the other part of this, and this is another element to a workshop that I think is so important, is feedback. So there's the informal feedback that you get during lab, which is nice. And that helps you kind of think about, your candidates and help you refine the shots that you like. But then there is more formal critique that happens during class presentation. And it's very positive. I know people get nervous about it. There's nothing to be nervous about, because what we're looking for as a class in your shots is what you're doing well and then how you can do it better. I mean, that's really what we're looking at. And most of the time, the shots are terrific. And then you just go, that little thing over there, you probably didn't see it because you were so focused on this and that. But if you, clone that out, or if you cropped here, or if you darken this area a bit, something like that, then I think the shot goes up to even another level. And that is really something, because now you're getting feedback, on your shots from people who really care and who really understand photography. And I'm talking about everyone in the group. The other thing about it is it gives me a chance to talk about technique. I could talk about technique all day long at the front of the workshop before you shoot any pictures, and it's not going to stick as much as me talking about that same technique after you've experienced a shot. And then we're looking at your shot and we're talking about the technique after you've gone through it, and then talking about how to execute that technique better. And I think, this is very powerful. And I think in that sense, that sticks with you. Not only the conversation after you've been through it, but then you have the image, and then you can maybe refine that image based on what we talked about. Now, a lot of times, the change has to happen at capture, but sometimes you can compensate for what didn't happen at capture in post, and the lesson still sticks. And so that's why I think the full cycle of talking a little bit beforehand, but not too much, experiencing, getting feedback along the way from your peers while we're shooting and during the labs, and then having formal feedback at the end, makes a workshop so much more powerful than trying to, you know, improve your photography on your own. So needless to say, I'm really looking forward to this afternoon because I get to see everyone's shots. I've been with them this whole time. I've seen some of their candidates, but the formal presentations where I really get to see their best work. And I'm excited. I'm always excited for the presentation. So that's coming up today. Then after that, I have to get back to Santa Rosa, which is about 5.5-6 hours away, and get ready for my next trip, which starts tomorrow morning. I'll get back to Santa Rosa about midnight probably, and then catch a plane tomorrow morning for Iceland, for the Iceland experience. And I am obviously looking forward to that also. So what I did was, and I mentioned this in last week's show, I packed my bags for both trips. And as I was sorting through things, I just pulled out the socks and underwear and t-shirts. I have them in a separate bag, so the suitcase only has clean stuff in it. And then I got a second set of stuff to put in there as soon as I get home, and then off I go again. So probably the next thing that you'll hear about on this show will be the Iceland adventure, where I can talk more about it. But I just wanted to give you a few insights about the workshop experience, because I think it's so powerful and it's so enjoyable and it's challenging. And, you know, to some degree, it's tiring too. You know, we do work long days, but I think it's very rewarding. And even me as a casual shooter during these things, come home with, you know, images that I really like. I'm glad I was able to sneak a few minutes here to talk to you guys and bring you up to speed. And keep a good thought for me getting on a plane tomorrow morning. And next time we talk, I'll be talking about Iceland. I got a few little news items and stuff to share with you. And then off I go. The top 5 tripods for 2016. And this was on Photography Talk. This is their top 5 tripods for 2016. I thought I'd just read you this list. There's 5 of them here. I think it's an interesting list. It kind of surprises me. The first one is the Surui, and it's S-I-R-U-I T-2205X. I was not familiar with this tripod. They said, if you want a lightweight tripod that's compact yet has maximum height of nearly 5 feet, the T2205X is a tripod for you. It weighs just 2.6 pounds, meaning you can easily carry it on long journeys without getting fatigued. Folded down, the tripod is a mere 14.6 inches long, again, making it a great choice for photographers that need a full-size tripod but don't want to deal with carrying something that's heavy or cumbersome. Yeah. By the way, I have the link to this article in the show notes, so you can check it out. And I have these little descriptions in the show notes too. The next one, the Handle Pod, which is technically not a tripod. And I wrote about it. I think I put it on our Facebook page. Handle Pod offers sturdy support in a highly compact package that gives you the versatility of utilizing it in a number of ways. Hold it in your hand for a steadier low light or long exposure shot. Brace it against the support like a wall or a post for instant tripod-like stability. Use HandlePod's built-in elastic cord to lash it to a steady object like a tree or even side mirror of your car. That's versatility that no tripod can match. So that's the HandlePod. Next one, the Manfrotto 190 Go. 190 Go. Manfrotto 190 Go. Being able to take shots close to the ground is not something that all tripods offer, but the Manfrotto 190 Go certainly does. The center column can be positioned at a 90-degree angle to the ground, giving you the ability to take shots at a height of just 2.75 inches. And if that's not attractive enough, the 190 Go is made of aluminum for strong, sturdy support, but it doesn't weigh a ton either, just 3.7 pounds. So that was number three on the list. Number four, the three-legged thing, Equinox Winston. What a name. This is worth it just for the names, right? The three-legged thing, Equinox Winston, with a maximum height of 76.9 inches. The Equinox Winston tripod from three-legged thing will give you the height you need for virtually any shot. That means I could stand straight, right? The Equinox Winston doesn't neglect the need to go low either, as it can get down to 10.6 inches above the ground for low perspective shots. Another advantage this tripod has over others, it can support over 88 pounds. All right, so that's your beefy tripod in the bunch. And then the last one, which I know some people have this tripod and they like it, the Velbon Ultra 555A. This small aluminum tripod from Velbon has five leg sections for extended height of just over 60.6 inches, but folds down to a compact 14.7 inches when not in use. Weighing in at 3.25 pounds, it's relatively lightweight as well. Looks like a winner. It has all sorts of nice features. It's a good-looking tripod. So that, according to Photography Talk, are the top five tripods for 2016. If you're thinking about a tripod, the reason why I like this list is I wasn't familiar with most of them. They were all new to me. Hopefully, they'll be new to you. All right, just a couple updates before I wrap up the show. A big thanks to all of our Patreon members and the new folks that signed up this week. Thank you so much for joining our inner circle. As I said, you know, I'm trying to make a transition now where I'm less dependent on outside companies and more dependent on just the work that I do, because quite honestly, with the market being what it is, it's too unstable, and I don't want to put our podcast at risk because some new CEO decides that, you know, he wants his buddy to do this work instead of, you know, one of us, instead of me. The Patreon thing is part of my strategy to move forward so that we're independent and so the podcast is safe and secure and I don't have to worry about running out of money and not being able to do it. So thank you for those of you that have signed up. And if you haven't signed up, I encourage you to do so. The 2007 workshop season, we're working on it. We're so close. But I don't want to make the preliminary announcements until we have some more details worked out. It will be soon, so stay tuned. And I tell you, Leah looked at me and she goes, wow. when we did the overview of the season. I hope you think so too. I'm very excited about it. Probably won't be next week because I'm in Iceland, but I'm hoping the week after that we'll finally be able to make that announcement. And then finally, I want to thank our friends at Red River Paper. You know what? I think I'm going to go to out of Chicago again, and I think they're going to send me again. That is the kind of company they are in terms of, you know, talk about supporting our effort here. Woo-wee. So I'm going to go talk about printing, I'm hoping, at Out of Chicago. The deal's not done yet by any means, but they said that they're open to it and they're talking to the Out of Chicago folks. I haven't had any conversations yet. And that was my last conversation with Red River. And we're talking about some things that we want to promote during the holiday season. And we'll be talking about that coming up real soon. But I just want to tell you that, you know, they're really behind what we're doing here. They make great paper, and they have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. And I think the landing page has been updated now with a new deal. So I think you want to go over there and take a look at that. Boy, I tell you, if all of our sponsors were like them, we would really be in a good, secure spot. Red River Paper, great people, great printing paper. and the longest running supporter of The Digital Story. Alrighty, it's going to do it for me this week. So wish me luck. I think I have a good plan. I think it's going to work out. If things get disrupted a little bit timing-wise, just know it's because I'm on the road. But, you know, I really make every effort to stay on schedule and get you those reports from what happens on the road. Until next time we meet, I'm Derek Story. Have a great week. Bye-bye now.